Good morning, everyone. Throughout the ministry of Jesus, he asked pointed questions to those around him. Through the use of questions, Jesus challenged people of their faith and led them to faith. What questions do Jesus challenge us today? Have you counted the cost? In the first sermon of this series, Pastor Kanan talked about the cost of discipleship. Following Jesus means to strive to enter the narrow door. If we are outside the door, no matter what associations we had with Jesus, we will be left outside the door when it closes. Nothing in life should become an excuse for us to try our best to follow Jesus. Why did you doubt? In the second sermon, Pastor Carson talked about Peter walking towards Jesus on water. He listed the seven steps to experience God and walk out in faith to follow Jesus. Do you remember what they are? 1. Identifying the sea. Where are you stuck? Where are you struggling? 2. Identifying the boat. What is your comfort zone? What is holding you back from change? 3. Find Jesus. What does God say about your situation? 4. Position yourself. Prepare yourself for opportunity. 5. Step out of the boat. Respond to the call in faith. 6. Try not to doubt. Don't look at two things at once. And finally, 7. Jesus will save you even if you fall. And these 7 steps happen in a cycle, which Carson calls it rinse and repeat, which means we will continue the walk on water process. Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? In the first sermon, Haynes talked about how the Pharisees and disciples both had hardened hearts, even after seeing many miraculous works of Jesus. He emphasized that the problem for people to trust in and dedicate their lives to Jesus is not because they have seen no evidence. It is because they have hardened hearts. Haynes challenges us to once again make up our minds and choose to put our trust in Jesus. Do you want to be healed? In the fourth sermon, which is the one last week, Alec talked about a sick man who has been an invalid for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. He pointed out that when Jesus approached him and asked him if he wanted to be healed, he didn't reply directly, but started blaming and complaining. Alec challenged us to review if we have some kind of sin that we are indulging in, yet we don't really want to be healed. He reminded us that the cure is here, which is Jesus, and being healed or not depends on whether you are willing to pick up your mat and walk as a disciple. Today, we come to the fifth and final sermon of the series, and I would like to start by sharing an interesting phenomenon that occurs every once in a while at my home. So it is related to me and my brother. Every time when our mom or dad asks us to do something, like, for example, wiping the table for after dinner, hanging up the washclothes for drying, getting something from the top shelf, we have a very similar response. One of us will always say, okay, later, but then forgets it or intentionally doesn't do it. But the other will always say, no, I'm busy, don't bother me, okay? But then he will change his mind later and go to help. Can you guess which response my parents usually prefer more? Yes, obviously. The one who says no, but does it anyway. They, of course, don't like us saying no, but they can accept that as long as we do it in the end. In the same way, does this situation happen with us and our Father in heaven? Do we say, yes, we will love neighbors, but then backstabs or gossip about our colleagues at work? Do we say, yes, we will love our parents, but then we yell at them at home? Do we say, yes, we will learn Jesus' patience, but then we give up walking with a friend in need? Do we say, yes, we will learn to love you more, but then we don't go to church to worship him every Sunday? Or do we say no, but eventually change our minds and do it because we know this is God's will? Are there any consequences if we disobey him? Which of the two kinds of Christians do you think God prefers? Interestingly, there is a part in the Bible that talked about this. So let's dive in now. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 31, Jesus said to the Pharisees, which were questioning his authority, "What do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterwards, he changed his mind and went. And the father went to the other son and said the same. And the other son answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" Let me repeat. The question of Jesus is, which of the two did the will of his father? The first son said no, but then changed his mind and did it. The second son said yes, but didn't do it. I would like to highlight that the scripture didn't even say the second son changed his mind as it did when it described the first son's reaction. The second son never seemed to want to do what his father commanded him to. What is Jesus talking about? Who's the first and second son? If we read a little further, we know that Jesus was talking about the Pharisees with regards to the second son. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 32, "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believe him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterwards change your minds and believe him." He was pointing out that they weren't willing to change their minds. The Pharisees had the chance to hear the gospel from John the Baptist, but they did not believe him. Then Jesus came and did miracles in front of their eyes, but even so, they denied Jesus as the Son of God. Why did the Pharisees not believe in Jesus? Were they blind? Were they not wise enough? No. They were physically and intellectually healthy. Then why? It is because they hardened their hearts. They don't want to believe in Jesus because they don't see their problems. They don't want to believe in Jesus because they don't think they need to repent for their sins. They don't want to accept the fact that someone had become more respected than they are. A while before, Jesus was gaining a lot of followers. He entered Jerusalem gloriously with people welcoming him like a king had arrived. The Pharisees are jealous of how Jesus overtook their fame and status. Therefore, Jesus here was trying to point out their biggest problem, which was that they are not willing to change their minds and soften their hearts? Are we also like the Pharisees? Is our hearts also hardened towards the works and teachings of Jesus? I once heard a story. There was a person who belonged to a Christian family. His family tried really hard to help him see God's work in his life, try to share the gospel with him. The person even had a near-death experience and survived miraculously. During the near-death experience, he did say he will believe in Jesus if he survived. But after he survived it, he chose to harden his heart and said he was just lucky. He wasn't willing to admit that God exists and helped him. He didn't want to believe in him. What do you think of this man after you hear this story? You should think he must be a dummy to not change his mind and soften his heart, right? After all that he has been through. That is what the Pharisees are doing too. Be careful, because we might have times when we hardened our hearts too. Most of us here, I believe in Jesus. However, we might not believe he is and should be in every part of our life. Maybe we will tell Jesus that this very part of our lives is too dirty, too messy, too complicated, or just too comfortable. So just let me take care of it. It can be the part of our lives at work, at home, in church, in relationships, or even in personal issues. You just keep telling Jesus not to touch it. We want him to stay out of it. But here, Jesus is reminding us, like what he was reminding the Pharisees, that we need to soften our hearts. Don't reject or deny him. Everything that Jesus has done in your life and before your eyes, don't be blind from it. Change your minds and soften your hearts now. Believe in his work and power. Believe that he can work in every part of your life. Believing in him is part of doing the will of God. As we continue and turn our eyes to the first son, we see that although the first son refuses to do the will of his father, he changed his mind and obeyed his command eventually. He just reflected his obedience through his behavior. His actions reflected his heart. He softened his heart and obeyed God, even though it might not be something he liked or wanted to do. But he still did it because he knows God wants him to do so. He was the one out of the two sons who was considered to have done God's will. What about us then? How do we reflect our hearts through our actions? By singing songs enthusiastically and raising our hands up high during worship, by praying out loud confidently and determinedly, by serving hard in church? As I must clarify, I'm not saying these are bad things to do. You should keep it up. But we must also look deeper into our hearts. Are our hearts really soft towards Jesus? Do we allow him to change us inside out so that we can follow him without holding back? Review our lives and see if we are doing the will of our Heavenly Father. This means restoring the relationship with family. Not yelling and quarreling with them anymore, although they continue to do so. Not backstabbing your colleagues after they have backstabbed you. Continue walking with a friend in need, although he keeps repeating his mistakes and you are starting to get annoyed by him. Going to church regardless of your busyness.
I have to confess about one thing here. A week and a half ago, there was this year's first church prayer meeting. Due to my busyness at school, as I'm a full-time student studying theology, I didn't turn up at the prayer meeting. I felt at that time I had every legit reason to not go to that prayer meeting. However, as I was preparing this sermon, God reminded me that I should have put him ahead of my studies. I was weak at that time because I was worried about not accomplishing my weekly study goals. Yet, I forgot to acknowledge that spending time with God should be more important than anything else. It is not I who accomplish things. Instead, it is the God in my life that allows me to accomplish them. Hope this can be a good reminder for all of us. We, including myself, has to change our minds and soften our hearts so that we can listen to and obey his will. But then you might be saying, Dick, I appreciate what you're telling us, but I think I'm already doing fine with my life. I am a good Christian. I go to church regularly. I serve a lot. A little flaw in my life won't hurt. Jesus won't mind. Why would I need to or want to change? Good question. Let's read on and see what Jesus had to say to the Pharisees after they answered Jesus that the first son did the will of God. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 31, Jesus then said to the Pharisees, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." Why do we need to change our minds? Why is it so important? Jesus is telling the Pharisees the consequence of not doing the will of God, the consequence of not opening up our lives completely to him. You will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. What is more disturbing to the Pharisees is not just that they can't enter the kingdom of God, but that the people they despise the most, prostitutes and tax collectors, will enter before them. What a great humiliation it is to the Pharisees. They see themselves as more righteous ones, yet Jesus says the opposite. Jesus is reminding them to change their minds, soften their hearts, and truly do the will of God. Brothers and sisters, we will have those moments when we see ourselves as more righteous than the others. We all have those moments when we think we are already doing great. But don't let these thoughts get the best of us. Let us stop for a second and think carefully. What did the tax collectors and prostitutes do that were better than the Pharisees? Was it because they prayed louder and more than the Pharisees? No. Was it because they went to the synagogues more often than the Pharisees? No. Jesus said they can enter the kingdom of God before them because they believe the gospel. They acknowledge their unworthiness and sinfulness in front of Jesus. They humbled themselves and were willing to open up everything in their lives to Jesus, even their worst parts. They were willing to repent. They were willing to leave all that they have to follow Jesus. They were ready to receive Jesus and the gospel. What about the Pharisees? They had the exact experience with Jesus as the prostitutes and the tax collectors had, but they don't believe in the gospel. They don't acknowledge their unworthiness and sinfulness in front of Jesus. In fact, in many occasions, they wanted to prove that they were better than Jesus. They refused to change their minds and soften their hearts. They refuse to open up their whole lives to Jesus. They refuse to repent. They weren't ready to receive Jesus and the gospel. Are we like the tax collectors and prostitutes? Or are we like the Pharisees? Do we have that readiness to do the will of God? The readiness to allow Jesus into every part of our lives and accept what he tells us to change. And the readiness to listen and be willing to obey him. Change our minds today and soften our hearts towards Jesus. Repent and open up each of our whole lives to Jesus. There should be no holding back. A simple way to review our heart's readiness would be to ask what was going through our minds every week as we listen to the sermons. We might find the sermons interesting. We might find some of the points insightful. But have you ever truly received God's words into your lives and made changes? Or you just keep on the old way you live your life? Jesus is telling us to leave it and make changes. Jesus is telling us to be mindful of doing the will of God. As we come to a close, I want to go back to the question Jesus asked. Which of the two sons did the will of his father? I'm sure you will also answer the first son. Then I would like to challenge everyone, including myself today. Which of the two sons do we want to be? My answer, and I hope this is your answer too, would be neither. We hope to be even more faithful to Jesus than the first son. We hope to be the one who says yes and also does what God commands us to do. But at the same time, keeping in mind of our sinfulness and unworthiness before Jesus and acknowledging that we can do the will of God only because Jesus alone made it possible in our lives. Let us bow down our heads and pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from a time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So in just a second, I'm going to invite you to stand and respond to him. So we've gone into the house, and our God has spoken something. And when somebody tells you something, teaches something, or speaks something to you, the natural response is to answer. And that is what we're doing in just a second. Now, the answer that I'm going to lead us, we're going to lead us in, it's a little bit hard to answer. Because this whole sermon series, when we're asking the question, Jesus is saying, are you willing to come and follow? And that is a hard yes to say. Because have you counted the cost? Because you're going to have to get out of some of your comfort zones, perhaps. And because you have to deal with some of the things that you're not willing to deal with. And just like our speaker said, you have to do the things that he told you to do. So that is a very tough question, or it's a hard question to answer, because it requires a lot of perhaps courage, or perhaps change, or perhaps devotion, or perhaps dedication to say yes. So in just a second, we're going to lead you into saying yes. Now, the tricky thing is this. For some of us, and for me included, I have a lot to learn still. Because the song that we're going to sing is, you know, I'm going to give Jesus everything. And that's going to be really hard to give everything to follow. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And for me, even a lot of times, you know, I want to, you know, just go and chase after something else. So that song is a little bit difficult to sing in that sense. But I want to ask you to maybe take it in as maybe like a prayer. Help me. Because if you truly want to follow Jesus and you know there is life, and just like Dick said, you can enter into the kingdom and you can enjoy all his presence. If you want to follow him, maybe that song is like a asking, help me, God. Help me to follow you closer. Help me to give more. Help me to follow you. Would you please stand? I have decided. Jesus, we ask that you help us. Because it's really tough sometimes to follow you in this world. So God, I pray that you will give us the strength and the courage and the dedication and the discipline to follow you in those tough times when we have to choose between going to the world and going to you. And God, as we make this prayer, we're reminded that we don't initiate this on our own. And what we mean by that is the person that has given everything is not me. It's not us. You're not a tyrant demanding for everything from the peasants. That's not what it is. In fact, you are the servant who has given everything to us. You have given your life first. You have emptied yourself, taking the form of a servant and humbling yourself even to the point of death, giving everything. For what? So that we can follow you. So that we can go into your house. So that when this world ends, we'll be in that heavenly house of yours. And we'll dwell there forever. So God, we thank you that you have given us everything. And we thank you that you have promised us every blessing. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I ask you to please stand, keep standing. And in a second, you know, we call this the benediction and sending segment of the worship. And I'm just going to put this guitar down. And if you haven't been with us for a long time, or even if you do, you know, what's the point of this? You know, at the end of this, didn't we already have a whole sermon? And then now we're going to read from another Bible scripture again, and then oh, you can go out. What does all this mean? So if I take the analogy of the house, we have been in God's house for the past an hour and a little bit. And if you go back to your father, and like I think those of you, if you have studied abroad and you go back to your parents' home and you dwell there and you sit there for a second, you have a dinner, and then what do you do? Or what, in fact, what does the father do? Or what does the parent do when you leave? Son and daughter, come here. I have one last thing I want to say to you before you go. And what will they usually say? They will say, son and daughter, I love you so much. And stay safe. Take care. And you can always call back, or you can always come back to this home. And when you go to study, and when you go abroad, or when you go to work again, don't forget to do this and this and this. And that's exactly what this segment, the benediction, is a blessing from God before you go. And ascending is his reminder. Do this and be the light of the world outside of this house. So here is God's final word in his house for you today. Sons and daughters, rejoice always. Even in this broken world, rejoice always. And continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all circumstances. And even though it's very difficult sometimes, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God the Father for you. Now do not quench the Holy Spirit. Meaning, if God's spoken something to you, don't leave the house forgetting it. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, and do not despise the word of God. And the God himself, God of peace himself, will sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and your soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ when you enter into that heavenly house that lives forever and ever. And this God, the Father who calls you, is faithful. That heavenly house will surely come, and you will surely go there. Because he's faithful, and he will surely do it. Amen. 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 Please be seated.